going to ask Paul to come and read God's word to us from Nehemiah, which is the last one in our series on Nehemiah. We've been looking for the last 6 weeks at the book of Nehemiah, and it's chapter 6. I think it's on page 407, if you want to follow it, or something like that, 403, if you want to follow it in your pew Bibles.
Don't follow it because you'll see if I've gone wrong with all these pronunciations. Now, when it was reported to Sanballat and Tobiah and to Geshem the Arab and to the rest of our enemies that I had built the wall and there was no gap left in it, though up to that time I had not set up the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, "Come and let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But they intended to do me harm. So I sent messages to them saying, "I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it to come down to you?" They sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat, for the fifth time, sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you are building the wall. And according to this report, you wish to become their king. You have also set up prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you. There is a king in Judah. And now it will be reported to the king according to these words. So come, therefore, and let us confer together." Then I sent him, saying, "No such things as you say have been done. You are inventing them out of your own mind." For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking, "Their hands will drop from the work, and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands." One day, when I went into the house of Shemaiah, son of Delaiah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined to his house, he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple. And let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, tonight they are coming to kill you." But I said, "Should a man like me run away? Would a man like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." Then I perceived and saw that God had not sent him at all, but he had pronounced a prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired for this purpose, to intimidate me and make me sin by acting in this way, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid." So the wall was finished on the 25th day on the month of Elul in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Paul. Brilliantly read. I've always thought, I think you know when you're in primary school and the teachers used to have that half hour on the carpet when the teacher used to read, I don't know whether they still do it anymore, but used to have that time where the teachers used to read the story at the end of the day. I love that. But Paul, you'd make a great primary school teacher when you read there, because you read it so well. It's fantastic. And there's some really difficult words there as well, so well done you. But so we're looking at Nehemiah chapter 6, as I said, it is in the pew Bibles. If you want to have a look, I'll be referring to it as we go through. But it's the last one in our little mini-series. And we've seen, haven't we, over the last few weeks, how Nehemiah faced various problems throughout the stages of the building of the wall. Remember the building the wall in Jerusalem? And Nehemiah felt that it's a God-given vision for him to do that. And they faced many problems throughout this process, not just primarily in the planning stages, and how Nehemiah learned to depend on God's wisdom as he brought the people together in chapter 2, but also how they faced opposition from the outside, from people on the outside who's trying to stop the work and trying to sort of gang up against them. That was week 3. Week 4, we saw how they faced opposition from the inside, people in their own camp who were trying to stop the work. And so today we draw to a close and we're focusing on chapter 6 and how Nehemiah is going to have to overcome some rather big distractions. There are some big distractions that we've seen in that reading. Who's ever been distracted? Who's ever found themselves distracted when you've got things to do? It seems to me that actually distractions come when we're busy, don't they? More distractions seem to come the busier we are. And it's hard. It's really hard to remain focused, isn't it? There are so many distractions in this world, so many around us all the time. And I think Nehemiah really speaks into that for us today. So we're going to have a look at some of those distractions as we go through and what God might want to say to us this morning in that. But first, the dreaded joke. I've decided I think I'm going to get Paul, when he puts these sermons online for the website. Do you know when you get like Peter Kay in concert? Do what? Well, you've muted me. All right, what you're saying is my jokes are so poor, you just want to mute me off. Is that what you're saying? I think what we can do, Paul, do you know you get Peter Kay at stand-up and you can get that, where you get those huge raucous laughter? Can you sort of edit one of them so that on the website, when anyone listens to my jokes, it's literally like tumbleweed goes across the aisle. It's like a 10-second silence when no one's... Could you just put a Peter Kay laughter thing on there? That'd be great. Thanks. Raucous laughter. Unless you do it, of course. And then he wouldn't have to do it, really. I've given you prior notice. Here's the joke. Laugh. Right. After the church service, it's got nothing to do with distractions, by the way. I couldn't find one. But anyway, after the church service, a little boy went up to the vicar and spoke to him. And he tapped him on his robes and he said, "Vicar?" "Yes, son," the vicar said, looking down. "When I grow up, I'm going to give you some money." The vicar's face smiled and said, "Oh, well, thank you, son. That's very kind of you. But why are you going to give me some money?" "Because my daddy says you're the poorest preacher we've ever had." You got better. There's a little bit of laughter there. It's better. There's mainly coming from here because Paul doesn't want to do the editing, but there you go. Right, back to Nehemiah. Once again, Sanballat, the dreaded Sanballat. He's been a pain throughout the last few weeks. You might have heard his name in the first five chapters. He's been the one that's trying to stop this happening. And here he is again, trying to stop Nehemiah from accomplishing the work of building the walls of Jerusalem. And once again, Nehemiah puts his trust in God. God who gave him the vision in the first place. And that's what Nehemiah does. We've found, haven't we, that his default setting is to go straight to God with things. He is not distracted by the messages or the rumors that Sanballat is directing towards him. As I said at the start, life is busy. And we all lead busy lives, and we might be busy at work, but there's always distractions if we're not careful, trying to get us off course, trying to take us off track. And it might be that sometimes these big, important things are taken over by what are less important things. Social media is huge, isn't it, in today's world? And it might be that you're sat at your desk working away, but suddenly your phone goes ping or whatever it is, and you start looking at Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And before you know it, you've lost half an hour. You're distracted by other things, and it takes you off the important task. Does that ring true for anyone? Anyone? Just one or two being honest. The rest of you are being distracted in other ways, but there you go. So let's take a look at three very brief distractions that I think Nehemiah faced in these verses. The first one is opportunities. Opportunities. Every day of our lives, important opportunities come along that have the potential to distract us from the main focus of what it is that we're supposed to be doing, whether that's spending time at work doing what you should be doing, or whether that's time with the family, or whether that's something else that you should be doing. Things crop up that have the potential to sort of refocus us in different ways. And often, these distractions might appear to be good things or important things. But to accomplish the most important thing, we must learn to say no sometimes to things that crop up. And that's really hard. For some people, saying no is harder than others. Some people are good at saying no, but for some, they can't say no. And so we end up saying yes to too many things, and we take on too many things. And what actually happens is you spread yourself too thinly, and you end up doing nothing well. You just end up doing the bare minimum of various bits that you're tied up with, and you don't feel good about yourself, because actually you're doing nothing to the best of your abilities. Sometimes we have to learn to say no to things, so that actually we can focus on the main thing that maybe God has laid on our heart to do, the main thing that we feel God is asking us to do. Put some things down, put some things aside that enable us to do that. Nehemiah did. Nehemiah focused wholly on what God was doing. He said no to going to these meetings that others were trying to get him to. They were a distraction. He said no, and he focused on what he had to do. Distraction number two is criticism. Criticism. This was not the first time that Nehemiah had dealt with criticism during this whole rebuilding of the wall. If you've been with us for the last 6 weeks and you've read through the chapters, you'll see that he's faced a lot of hard times during those moments. Sanballat had criticized him in various ways, and he'd also criticized the workers. He'd had a go the best way he could to stop this happening. But this time, the criticism was a little bit different because it was personal. So what did Nehemiah do? He prayed. He went straight to his default setting and he prayed to God for strength to continue the work that he had to do. And he let God worry about his reputation and he continued with the vision that God had put before him. Don't waste time focusing on those people who might criticize you. Don't waste time thinking what others will think because of what they have said about you. Instead, pour your heart out to God and let him deal with that. And I think there's something in that for us about our own personal security or sometimes our own personal insecurities. The thing is, sometimes we're a little bit unsure, aren't we? Sometimes we need other people to give us that confidence boost. And we might look to other people's reassurance in things. But that's just basing your feelings on human levels. As we've learned so much as we go through this book, Nehemiah didn't base his feelings on a human level. He rooted everything in God through prayer. Do you pray? That's the challenge. Do you pray about your daily life? Do you pray about those things that you're dealing with? Do you pray about those issues in work which crop up? Do you pray about those people who give you a hard time in work? Do you pray for your boss? Because these are issues that we need to be praying about. If you're finding things tough, do you pray? Nehemiah, first thing he did, prayed all the time, rooted everything in prayer. Our confidence is in the Lord. It says that in Scripture. Our confidence is in the Lord. Our strength comes from him. So be rooted in him. Start the day in him. Pray with him. Can I encourage you, in whatever situation you find yourself, even if life's great and it's going really well, give thanks to God for that. Give thanks for God for those things that are going well. Don't let things pull you off course. And the third distraction is fear. Fear. Shemaiah tried to convince Nehemiah to run and to hide in fear for his life. He tries to get him into the temple, actually, to come and hide from the people who are out to get him. But in reality, Shemaiah was the one who was out to get him in the temple there. So he tried to get Nehemiah to run in fear for his life. But just as Nehemiah had not allowed opportunities or criticism to distract him, he also didn't let fear distract him. At some point on your journey, if you believe that God's given you a vision to do something or you're doing what you think is right, at some point there will be a point when fear kicks in. And you'll begin to think about, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? And you begin to let the what-ifs override everything else. We mustn't let fear distract us. It's only natural to fear. We're human, aren't we, after all? And no one likes to fail. And we don't like to be the one that goes down in history as the one who messed up, the one who got it wrong. No one wants to do that. I've got to be honest. You'd know that I've spoken in recent weeks about the ideas we have for redeveloping our church building here, about trying to do something fantastic for the back of the church to make it a brilliant space for ministry as we look to develop the mission of this building and this church into the community. But I've got to admit, as the team who's been responsible for doing this, we've had some in-depth discussions around what might happen if there are feelings of, you know, potential failure and what that could have implication-wise for us as a church. This building is rooted in history, and therefore it carries pressures and it carries a great weight with it because of that. So it wouldn't be human not to have those fears. But God always has a deeper purpose. God's always got a deeper vision than what we see on the surface. For Nehemiah and for the people of Israel, the vision wasn't just about building the walls. That was what Nehemiah was doing. He was trying to rebuild the broken walls and build those as a defense, to make Israel great. That was what Nehemiah was doing. God was using Nehemiah to do that. That wasn't God's wider vision. As you read on through the Old Testament and through Nehemiah, that wasn't God's wider vision. He used Nehemiah for the purpose of building the walls physically so that God could build the people of Israel back to being a great nation. That was God's plan, to build Israel into a great nation, into his people again, and to give them a place in order to do that. That was the wider vision. You see, God sees the big picture. We don't. We only see the bit that's in front of us. And sometimes we question, how can God allow that? Why does this happen? Why did that not happen? We don't see the big picture. We only see the bit that we're concerned with. God sees the whole wide picture, the wide-angled lens, if you like. And then we get to the sort of the last verse, which Paul read to us, verse 16. I think it's a brilliant verse because it says these words. When all our enemies heard about this, and all the surrounding nations were afraid and they lost their confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. They realized that this work had been done with the help of God. Who gets the credit for it? Not Nehemiah, not the workers. God gets the credit for it. They realized that God was behind the rebuilding process. And with God's help, Nehemiah and his team of people did the impossible in 52 days. I don't think we could perhaps grasp what they managed to do in 52 days, but they did an impossible task. In 52 days, they rebuilt the entire city walls, which is just unbelievable. And they did it with the power and the presence of God. See, while you are consumed with the details involved in pursuing God's vision for your life, God is up to something else in the background, something that we might not even be aware of. Why? Because God ultimately wants to draw us as his people to himself. If you are pursuing a God-given vision, there will be moments when you will find yourself standing in awe at what God is doing and what God has done through you. And in those moments, your attention will be drawn away from the work that you're doing to the faithfulness of God and God's awesome ability. Sanballat and his people weren't the only ones to recognize that God had intervened on behalf of Israel. The people in Israel also saw it. If we went on to read chapters 8 and 9, which we're not doing because we're finishing Nehemiah today, but if we'd gone on to read chapters 8 and 9, we'd see that the people returned to God. See, it wasn't just about the walls. The people returned to God and to God's ways, and they began to live as God had instructed them to live for the time being. As a church, we are, as I've mentioned numerous times now, looking at redeveloping this amazing building. We are on a journey, and we've been on a journey for the last 3 years. And the PCC have been integral in that journey, and I had to make some serious decisions for various things that have changed so far in our journey. Those changes have led to the two services that we have currently. They've led to pastoral care teams being developed. They've led to what if courses happening, which is fantastic as people are coming to faith. They've led to a re-envisaged Sunday school, a new creche. They've led to all different things, mums and tots groups, lots of different things that are happening as a result of changes that we've been brave enough to make because we believe it's God's vision for us to develop his church here, to develop the mission here. And in all those things, God has massively been at work. Maybe not in the way that we thought, because doing those things has led to other things, and one has built on the other, like a building block going on the other. And the church is growing and developing in different ways to perhaps how I thought it might happen or we thought it might happen. But God is working his purposes out through us. He's using us to do what he wants to do. And all we can do is be faithful in that. All we can do is give ourselves to God and work for him, for his glory. Last paragraph. So as we finish Nehemiah, this series, which I think has been great, let's take from it, yes, God does and will use ordinary people, you and me, to carry out his work. He does and he will use us to carry out his work. Things that might seem impossible are possible when God is in control. And yes, as we've learned, there might be opposition. Things that we want to do, there might be opposition against it. But again, when God is in it, nothing will stop it if we hold true to the vision and we hold true to God's purposes. But miles more deeper than that, God will also use us. He will use us ultimately to bring about his glory. His glory for the growth of his church. That's the growth of us spiritually, numerically, every way, to grow his church in this place. We've got a really exciting journey ahead of us in the next few years as we look to do our own physical building project. But I'm dead excited about what that might look like. I'm really excited about what that's going to be like. In the next 12 months, you're going to be hearing a lot more about that. You're going to be seeing plans. You're going to be seeing things that are going to hook you in and hopefully get you excited and fired up by the vision of what this place could look like physically. But you know what I'm more excited about? Not so much physically about the building. Yes, I am. But I'm more excited about what it's going to do to us as his church and how that's going to impact us as a church here and out there, how God is going to use us because of what we do, because it's his vision and it's not our vision. So as we go through these next 12 months where there might be issues, let's remember everything we've learned from Nehemiah as we push on with our own building project. Let's pray together. Lord, I have said a lot this morning. And Lord, there's so much for us to learn from the Old Testament and how over these last 6 weeks, the book of Nehemiah has really spoken to us as a church and to where we are at the moment. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to you afresh today. We commit the plans that you have, Lord, for this church as we seek to develop it, Lord, that it would be in line with your will. And we pray, Lord, that you would equip us to do the work that you want us to do. And Lord, we also pray that we'd hold on to that vision, perhaps when times get hard, that we'd hold on to you and know that you work for the greater good, that your name would be glorified and that your church would grow. So Lord, would you use us for your glory's sake? Because we ask it in your name. Amen.